Welcome back to the next episode of the Sarah Grillo podcast. And today I am super excited because I have here with me the one and only Winnie Sun. Ta-da-da-da! Hey, Winnie. Thanks for joining.
Hello.
Hi. So for those of you that may not know her, Winnie is a financial advisor for almost 20 years now and the founder of Sun Group Wealth Partners. But the reason, one of the reasons I'm having Winnie on the show today is that she is a remarkable example of success in social media. And I know that some of y'all are listening to me today saying, I still don't believe this Grillo girl talking about social media and ever going to do squat for my practice. Well, here today to present you with an experience that someone is having, and you can judge for yourself if that statement is still true. So, Winnie, the first question I have is, you obviously have a tremendous presence on social media. Tell me how that grew. How did it get started?
Well, this is a great question. I mean, because if you know me, my husband laughs all the time because I am the ultimate introvert. I mean, it's such an extreme that you wouldn't even believe it. But if you saw me online now and on television, you would completely disagree and not believe it. But that's true. And so many, many years ago, my husband came to me and says, you know, you should do this Facebook thing. And you know, when it first started, and I said, oh, I'm not going to do Facebook. I'm so, you know, shy. I don't like to share everything. And I'm a very private person. So I didn't do Facebook. And then one day, my manager at Smith Barney said, hey, everybody, we're going to do this whole thing called LinkedIn now. It's going to be good for business. So I said, okay, well, since the manager said I should do LinkedIn, being the good little, you know, advisor, okay, I'll do LinkedIn. So I set up a LinkedIn profile, did all that, you know, put a picture up. And in not a very long time, I had a prospect find me on LinkedIn.
And he now, hold on, pause, alert. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is possible, let us just establish, Winnie, it is possible for prospects to find financial advisors via social media. Okay, I just had to make that point. Sorry, I get a little excited about these things. But
No problem. And that was, you know, and this is like quite a long time ago. And so he was in his 20s. I was in my 20s. And, you know, he said, I saw your profile and I thought we would be good friends because my dad has a financial advisor at Smith Barney and I need one. So lo and behold, we met and he came to the office. We, you know, opened an account for him. It was like, I want to say about $250,000. And then like within months, it wasn't even a long time, his company got bought out. And in short order, he transferred, you know, eight figures over. So that really opened my eyes of the power of social media and the possibility of marketing and really branding. And that really spurred what you see today, which is like full-blown social media extravaganza.
Like, I mean, you have tens of thousands of people following you. So how did it get, I mean, for, you understand that probably the average advisor is listening to this maybe has like a, you know, 300 followers or something like that. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just have noticed that
I heard that statistic. I was at a conference recently, a very large financial conference, and I spoke with one of the marketing experts, and they told me that less than 10% of their advisors were on social media and even had a Twitter account.
So, but you've got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, following you. How did you make that jump? How did you get there?
It takes years. I mean, I think at least for me it did because I didn't really have a lot of experience in this. And, but what I realized that is sort of like when you are working your market and when you first move to an area and you're trying to build a client base or a brand for yourself, you got to think really smart. And so what I jumped into is I started working with a publicist who really was just, you know, she was actually not my first publicist, but I think she was my second publicist, but she
so
really,
wait, hold on. So this is also kind of important. Sorry mm-hmm. to just stop you there, but the first publicist maybe didn't work out. Is that what the implication is?
Yeah, when I first went independent and joined LPL, they're really kind. They brought on board a PR firm to help me, which was great. I learned a lot from working with them. And then eventually I migrated to another group, which was a lot bigger. And they did great things for me as well. But at some point I remember saying, like, I think we should, you know, maybe I should do some social media. And I remember the owner of this firm, who wasn't actually much older than me. And he says, you know, no, we're not focused on social media. I don't think you should spend too much of your efforts on this. And I remember thinking, this might not be the team for me. So, you know, somehow, luckily, I was able to team up with a publicist now, and who I've had now for years. And I remember she says, Winnie, you need to build out your Twitter. And I was like, build out Twitter? Yeah. And I remember my team was like, nobody uses Twitter. Twitter's dead. You know, this and that. I'm like, hey, I don't know. And she's like, just build it out. I want you to build it out. I'm like, okay. And then, so that's what you do. You just build it out. You slowly, you know, person by person, step by step. And initially it's very difficult, and I get it. But it, for me at least, it took years to build out. Nowadays, I think there's different tools and techniques that you can sort of speed that up a little bit. It still takes a lot of effort, like a lot of, as you know, Sarah, a lot of manpower, but it can be done.
Right. Well, the point of me asking about that first marketing publicist was that a lot of times people get this jaded impression of marketing people, like we're all the same, or that, you know, we're not effective at certain things. But in reality, everybody, just like every advisor has different way of doing things, every marketing person has different beliefs. And so that's why I'm curious to see this, that to hear you say that there was one that if you had gone with her, you may not be where you are today, but you are adept enough to recognize that.
I think so. I think, you know, I've been in business for a long time, and this is not my first business. I owned a very successful television audience production company. So I think I knew enough to know who was a good fit for me. And so the PR teams were great people. They're smart. They had great connections, but I felt like I needed someone who understood me. I don't know if you watched the VMAs the other day. I didn't, but I saw this replay of Jennifer Lopez accepting her award. And I remember her saying that, thank you for like taking a chance on me when I was just scrappy. And like, you know, I was just from the beginning. And I felt that way when meeting my publicist who I'm with now. I felt that she understood me and she really believed in me. And she's taken me farther than I ever imagined I would get. And I think a lot of it was simply that she believed in me, because I actually had to put in all the work. She kind of sort of gave me some direction, but it was my job to actually implement.
Like what?
Like, for example, you know, a lot of people can say, hey, so Sarah, I think you should build out Twitter. And you're like, okay, I build out Twitter. What do I do with build out on Twitter? But you got to figure out how you do that, right? And then, like, for example, in the beginning, I would try to figure out who the main players on Twitter were and who I wanted to connect with. And I didn't just want to build a following. I wanted to build people that could potentially help me get from point A to point B, right? Either to get as clients or to get media attention or something like it I had to have some sort of clear focus on building my Twitter following, and you had to do it quickly. So I couldn't sit around and just, like you said, I've seen advisors online that have followings of 60 or 90 followers, and they're sharing really, really smart, really clever content. But unfortunately, it's like vanity content. Nobody's seeing the content because you didn't take the time to build that audience. And I think building that audience is everything. Like, you should focus on building your audience before you focus on building your content, in my opinion.
Well, yes, there is the idea that, and see, I think people like to a lot of times spend time on the content because they feel like it's kind of fun to be like, it's fun to feel like the smartest person in the room.
Right.
On my blog or my podcast or whatever. But then the distribution part of it is really where the grunt work comes in and the hard work. And I think by that, let me know, because this is one of the reasons I'm talking to you here, so that advisors can just know from another party the things I'm always saying. Like, if you write a blog, get people, influencers, to share it. Mm-hmm. Get a guest blog on somebody else's blog in front of their audience. tag people, get people to come in and interview them, and then tag them on their social media.
Exactly.
So what else would you think would be that kind of grunt work, that getting the eyeballs on it kind of a stuff, you know, that kind of stuff? What are some ideas that you have about that?
I think, you know, I think what we did right was that our client base already loved us. Our practice was really, really robust and sound, and we were doing great business. So our clients loved us. We just needed a way to share that client love to other people, so other people could see how much they would love working with us. I think that's critical. Like your practice needs to be able to run really well before you do this. And then the second thing, I love what you said about influencer. I'm a complete fan of this too. I think when you do social media, you have to think about how you can bring value to other people. So that's number one, listening. And number two, thinking of people who you want to team up with. Let's say, like I said, influencer. Like, a lot of people reach out to me all the time. I work with a lot of big brands currently. Mm-hmm. And as their, you know, their spokesperson or influencer, and there's always a value proposition that goes both ways. I think if you can figure that out, that will help you move the needle a little bit. And a lot of financial advisors, I find, they spend a lot of time following other financial advisors or following other financial firms, and that's great and all, but is that your client? And so for me, that's not my client. So I made a really conscious decision on certain platforms not to connect with financial advisors. It's not that I don't love financial advisors. I don't like them. I really do like them. They're just not going to be my client. So it's not a good use of one connection, because I have to spend a lot of time to, number one, get that connection, and number two, nurture that connection. Number three, eventually hope to sign this connection as a client, or in other respects, other business projects I'm working on, right? So perhaps later on, my clients will be financial advisors, but at this juncture, they are not.
I love this. I love what you're saying, because I'm constant, is that you can see on a lot of financial advisors' profiles, they have this groups list, these groups listed, and they're all wealth management, you know, RIA world, whatever.
Right.
Like, how are you going to get a client out of that? You're going to be posting up like the latest blog that you wrote, and you're going to get other financial advisors being like, you know,
yep,
I like that 401k strategy they're talking about there. I should use that in my practice. Like, if anything, you're just feeding the competition.
Yep.
No, don't get me wrong. I think there's some of that that's good to know, first of all, like what your competition is doing. A little bit, not overly so, but I love this that you're talking about, the connecting with people. And I think that that's also where a lot of people go wrong with social media. They think it's about my broadcasting and my audience, but the reality is that you could gain so much more from looking at who you're connected to and leveraging those connections. I mean, how many people don't even know half of the people in their LinkedIn network?
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. So everybody's feeling is different. I'll tell you, for me, I'm okay with that, because, you know, it's like I have about 28,000 connections on LinkedIn, and I've got almost 30,000 following me. So that's a big population. I don't know all of them, but that doesn't mean they don't feel like they know me. And so I think, you know, whenever you're doing social media, it's no different than cold calling or doing seminars. Your net has to be big and wide. If your net's too narrow, you know, you're fishing in a very small pond. And I like to fish in big ponds. So that's why I think it's okay. And I think people always say, well, numbers don't really matter, do they, Winnie? And I say, I actually think they do matter, because they do matter, because if you have, let's say, 300 connections, that's going to be a lot harder to get clients or to share other products and services you have to offer, versus, you know, like I have about 300 some thousand on Twitter alone, not to mention the other platforms. And that gives me a wider net. And then my connections, I'm really strategic about who I'm following as well. And they tend to be centers of influence. So my overall, you know, footprint is quite large. That gives me a better chance to sign more people.
Totally agree with you. Because you never know who they're connected to, and they might share one of your updates and mm-hmm. top of mindedness and all of that. I agree with that. But I also, what I'm getting at here is I think that there's a lot of opportunity to just once in a while, and I realize it's probably a lot harder the bigger the network you have. But for example, to just pay attention to who's in your network if the same people keep coming up over and over again. For yes. example, you probably noticed this, that when you post a lot, you notice there are some people that are just your promoters. Like, they're going to like everything.
Yep.
You know, there's like one
that's
or two.
That's your tribe. That's your tribe. So you got to keep those people really, really close.
Yeah. So, but how many people have ever reached out and said, hey, thanks so much for liking my content. What is it that you find so intriguing about this? And then they answer you and you just don't know who of influence, if not, maybe they're an influencer in some way that you never realized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the social aspect of it, like having that conversation mm-hmm. is, I think, something that a lot of people neglect to do. But there's so much, like operating it, like you were saying, like people need to feel like they know you, like actually getting to know people through social media, having it actually be social.
Right. Right. So it does take a village, especially, you know, running as big numbers as we do. It was certainly a lot easier when we were smaller. I would run everything myself. But now, yeah, it does take a village.
So one last question before we wrap here, Winnie, how do you, because you mentioned that you're with LPL, how do you cope with compliance? Because there are so many advisors that, you know, warranted or not, will have this attitude of, oh, what a headache. I'm never going to get anywhere. I can't get anything through compliance. Is it them? Is it the compliance? Are they doing something wrong? I mean, you know, you are mass producing content out there. You know, how do you do this?
Well, see, so that's a good question. I actually don't feel I'm mass producing content, but you are right. I produce more content than most people. I will say that LPL has been wonderful for me. I have a great relationship with my compliance team at LPL, legal team and marketing team, and they know what I do. I know what they do. I spent a lot of time very early on learning what I could and could not do. And I continue to hone that, continue to send questions and figure out what that is. And from there, I work within the boundaries. And not only that, it's been sort of a blessing in disguise, because I can have conversations with you, for example, and I don't worry about what I'm saying, because I know what I'm saying will be fully approved, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what you should do, if you are serious about wanting to build a brand on social media and to bring in clients and whatnot, you need to spend, not just do their training, because the training is like, I mean, come on, all of us do the training. We read it real quick. We scan over and we skip to the next page. We're not really absorbing that information. But what you should do is you should spend some time with your compliance officer or your marketing, you know, the approval team, and say, hey, give them some examples of what you've done or some things you want to do. And then they're going to tell you what you can and cannot do. And you sort of learn. And the thing about compliance is sort of changes, you know, by the month that you submit. But once they get comfortable with you and right. you get comfortable with them, it's like, it's not an issue. We probably submit, we submit so much content, like you said. We probably produce about 6 videos a week, and that doesn't even include the written content. And in terms of social media posting, we produce, as you can imagine, I mean, there are some days, like every Wednesday, we probably socially share at least 300 to 400 shares just in Wednesdays alone. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of content.
Right.
So you got to know what you can do without, you know, you got to learn, you got to take the time to really learn what you can and cannot do and figure out how that translates into getting business for you. Because the most critical thing, they think the biggest mistake most advisors do is mm-hmm. that they don't truly commit to social media. And that's okay, you don't have to. But if you are going to do social media, then you got to put some effort into it and not just use sort of this canned program where your content is canned content, because that's very ineffective.
Well, yeah, people see right through it because it's generic, and that's what people.
Yeah. Would you want to recount content? Because typically your audience reflects you. You know, you are your client, you are your audience. So if you don't like canned content, whoever is like following you isn't going to like it and they're going to do business with you.
Right. The other thing I think is really useful for advisors to know about getting content through compliance is look at the compliance officer as a human being and look at try to empathize with them and just be in their world for just 1 minute and think about the fact that, especially at like an LPL or a wirehouse or something, they've got hundreds of people that they have to look over. And it just takes one person on one day doing one thing wrong for them to lose their job.
Well, not only that, is that don't even think about it that way. I mean, the most important thing is they are here to protect us so that when FINRA comes knocking, and they will, and especially if you do social media, I mean, you can imagine how much my compliance team reviews on my behalf, right? It's so much content, and a lot of my content I actually am not required to submit for approval, and I still submit it because I just want that time stamped, I want that in there, and it just covers myself. But think about your compliance officer as your fairy godmother or father, because they're making sure that everything you put out isn't going to get you in trouble. So that's a beautiful thing. I love my compliance team. You know, I didn't originally. I had someone who wasn't that effective for me, and I just went to who I needed to, spoke with them, and they found someone who was a better match. So, you know, if you're going to do social media, you got to have the right team in place, because it's just a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you're committed. So Winnie, thank you so much. I think we're going to wrap here. Appreciate you being on my podcast today. And advisors, I hope that you'll take all of her sage advice. As you can see, she's obviously a success story. And this is not just me making things up. You heard it from the source. Everybody, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And thanks again for tuning in.